Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Lawlessness is very fashionable today, and people are even proud of their open defiance of the law. And there should be nothing surprising here, because the Bible says that the last days before Jesus' return will be characterized by great lawlessness. Now, the world at large is not our topic of discussion today. What is our topic is Christian behavior. Your behavior, my behavior, how much of the world's defiance of the law has affected us personally? Probably a lot more than we care to know. Let's continue to turn the mirror of the Ten Commandments upon ourselves, that we might examine our hearts under the perfect law of liberty. Stay tuned to Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. We're glad you could join with us today. We have been talking about the Ten Commandments and the place that the commandments have in the life of believers. And we have been having a very interesting and exciting examination of where the Ten Commandments fit. Lawlessness is very fashionable today, and people seem to even be proud of their open defiance of the law. And this should be nothing surprising to us, because the Bible says that the last days before Jesus' return will be characterized by great lawlessness. Now, the world at large is not our topic of discussion. What is our topic is Christian behavior. Your behavior, my behavior. We can't do much about the world in general, but we are definitely responsible for our own behavior. And here is where we stand. Jesus said, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. However, because we are in the world, over time we tend to become of the world as well as in it. We begin to assimilate the attitude of the world. It comes from indulging in all the same pastimes and the ungodly media that the world indulges in. A steady diet of the world makes us to be worldlings. That means we become of the world. Because great lawlessness characterizes our society today, the question begs to be asked, how much of that lawlessness that is totally pervading our society, how much has been assimilated by us as Christians? How much of the defiance, how much of the disregard for the law, how much violent anger do we display against things that we don't agree with? These are all very pertinent questions that we must ask ourselves. Because the lawlessness is so greatly increased in the land, we must be very vigilant to weed it out of our lives. Believe me, it won't leave on its own accord. It takes work and effort and focus to get the lawlessness out of us. Why is it so important to address this? Because the Word of God says sin is lawlessness. This lawlessness all around us and many times in us is completely against God's character, and therefore it must be dealt with in the lives of His followers. The salvation which Jesus has purchased for us by his death on the cross is that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So it's not good enough to go to the altar and receive forgiveness for our sins. That's just the first step. The salvation of Jesus is that he would clean the sin out of us. What is sin again? Sin is lawlessness. So Jesus died to clean lawlessness out of us so that the true followers of Jesus would become lawful, that they would become obedient. The Father in heaven sent Jesus so that we could be forgiven and cleansed from our sins. Then he sent the Holy Spirit to strengthen us to hate sin and to love what is good. This is what it means in Hebrews when it says that the law of God will be written on our hearts in the new covenant. That means that we learn to love the ways of God. We learn to love the good laws of God. We want to obey because obeying pleases the one that we love most. When we begin to deal with the sin in our life, we begin to love obeying God. This is when we have become true partakers of the new covenant. Anything short of this, and we're just playing church. We're just playing Christian. We may be Christian in name, but we are not a Christ follower until we follow him, until we obey what he says. Getting people excited about putting to death the deeds of the flesh and living fully for God is what revival is all about. This is true revival. So we're doing this study on the Ten Commandments in order to see where we are failing, where we are falling short. Then we simply go to God in honest humility and confess our sins and ask him to help us overcome them. The Ten Commandments are a very interesting study. We think we know them, but we don't. In fact, the commandments that we think we have under control are often the ones we break the most often. We break them many times without realizing it. And that's why this study is so exciting. A close look at the Ten Commandments is shocking and eye-opening. There is so much more to them than we think. Take, for example, that we probably think we've got the first commandment in the bag. It says, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, we might think that since we don't have a graven altar set up in our home, we've got that one pretty well covered. But if we look at the heart of the commandment, we see that the idols refer to anything in our life that we love more than God. And now we can see that many times we're breaking this first commandment all day long. We love all kinds of things more than God. I'm not saying we don't love God, we probably do, but we love so many other things more than God, and it crowds our love of God out. We love our sports more than God. We love our entertainment more than God. We love our comfort more than God. How do I know that? Because if you could spend an hour with God, or you could spend that same hour watching sports, which one will you take? God really can't compete with sports. In fact, many pastors have to plan their services around major games because they know that nothing can compete with the game. So I ask you, who's the real God in our life? Who is the one we really love? Hardly anyone, anywhere, would choose an hour with Jesus over an hour of sports. So this is just one example of the far-reaching impact of the Ten Commandments. for us to be ready to meet Jesus, for us to have our robes washed that we might eat of the tree of life, means that Jesus needs to become our first priority, and he needs to become the love of our life. So we see that the first commandment alone is so imperative for us to becoming focused on God that he is truly the love of our life. So the study on the commandments is very exciting if you really want to be prepared to meet Jesus. In the last lesson, we started to examine the third commandment, which is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for God will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. If you missed the lesson, they are archived on our Skies Revival Radio website. You can go back and pull them up there, or you can buy a copy of the book where these lessons come from. They come from a book called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. You can pick up a copy on Amazon pretty cheaply, or you can download a PDF version from our website, which is theskies.org. That's theskies.org. The door that leads to radiant life is nothing more than examining our lives in the light of the Ten Commandments and bringing to God the things that we're doing wrong. We let the commandment shine on us like a searchlight to expose the areas of sin in our lives that we may not even be aware of. When we bring them to God in simple, humble repentance, it's amazing what happens. Our fellowship with the Lord is restored. Joy floods in, and we become full of light. Try doing this in regard to honoring the Lord's Day. Try turning away from your sports to spend time with Jesus, to enjoy his word, to enjoy his company. Just ask the Lord to help you to make him your priority. And I'm telling you, the joy that will flood into your life from obeying him, from obeying his commandments, the joy that comes from repenting and being restored to the Lord is unspeakable. It far outshines any kind of happiness we might get from the things of the world. As I mentioned, we began studying the third commandment last week, and we saw how hurtful it is to God to hear his name taken in vain all day long. As believers, we should not only resist the tide by not falling into the habit of using his name in vain, we need to go far beyond that and use his name with love and deep reverence. This actually pleases God. Let us not adopt the fashions of the world that we hear all day long around us, but rather hold firmly to Jesus and use his name only with love. So not using the name of the Lord in vain or using it as a curse word is part of this commandment, but there are other meanings of the word swearing that is prohibited by this third commandment, which you may find interesting. It's not just using the Lord's name as a curse. Let's consider these other areas. First, it is prohibited by this commandment that we would swear by God. That is, an oath or a vow using the name of the Lord to add emphasis. A case for this might be along the lines of, I swear by God, if that man ever steps on my property again, I'll call the police and have him thrown off. This is invoking God to be a witness that you will do the thing that you say. The truth is, you have no assurance that you will even be alive tomorrow, and God may determine that the next time he sees you, he'll have you thrown out. This is a very common abuse of the third commandment, and we see it all the time. Another common usage would be to swear by God that by this time next year, you will have accomplished this or that goal. And this is particularly the meaning that Jesus was warning against in the Sermon on the Mount. He instructs us in Matthew 5:34, not to make any vow that we will do something. He teaches men that they should be humble and realize that they have no power to absolutely determine the outcome of any events. Instead, we are to simply say, I hope to do this or that, and if God enables me, I will accomplish it. When man makes an oath before God, he fails to recognize that the events of the earth are sovereignly determined by God alone. Proud man is not able to determine the outcome of his intentions. That is God's domain. When man takes a firm vow to do something, no matter what, he is tempting God to thwart him. Just remember the Titanic. Another common case of using God's name in vain has to do with invoking his holy name as though it were a magic power. This is seen in the case of the seven sons of Sceva mentioned in Acts 19:13. They attempted to cast out a demon using the name of Jesus without proper knowledge or reverence. They were trying to use God's holy name as a powerful tool to accomplish their purposes. The result was that God left them to their own devices. The demons fell on the brothers and greatly harmed them. This misuse of God's name is far more prevalent than you would guess. Whenever we use any of God's names as part of a formula to accomplish a specific purpose, we are entering dangerous ground. God's name cannot be used that way. It's called conjuring and uses the name of God as magic. Whenever you are taught that this prayer works for this problem or that prayer works for that problem, you are in forbidden territory. Or if you are taught to pray exactly in a certain way, again, you are using God's name as a magic formula. And sadly, this is now quite common in many modern churches. Now, I'm not talking about written prayers that are read as part of a liturgy. No, that's perfectly fine. I'm referring to formulated prayers that will supposedly achieve a certain result if they are prayed a certain way. Jesus is a person, not a force. The God of the Bible knows every intention of the thoughts of your heart. He cannot be forced or tricked into doing something because you prayed in a certain way. That is utter foolishness, even though it is so rampant in the church today. We do not need any formulas with God. A simple, heartfelt prayer is all it takes to get the attention of our loving Father who knows our needs before we ask. Another example of taking God's name in vain is when teachers or evangelists teach false doctrine in the name of Jesus. The precious lambs are led astray and devoured by these prophets who systematically rob and plunder the unsuspecting. All the while, they use the name of Jesus to justify and qualify their deeds. God's wrath will not be slow to visit those who speak falsehood in his name, misleading the very ones he died to save. And finally, there is using the Lord's name in vain before a magistrate. In most modern courts in the free countries, when a person is called to testify, he must take an oath before God to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If a person commits perjury or lying under oath, he is guilty of a crime before the law. Depending on who the person is, he may or may not get in trouble with the law. However, there is another penalty that he will not be able to escape, no matter how high-priced his lawyer is. The law of God makes it clear that if we take an oath before the judge with God as our witness that we are telling the truth, we had better be telling the truth. God will not hold him guiltless who uses his name in vain. The penalty will be assigned by God and sent to the one who lies under oath. Here's a little fascinating fact for you. Did you know that the phrase to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth used in our modern courts was taken from Martin Luther's catechism under the heading of keeping the second commandment? It was written approximately 250 years before the United States judicial system adopted it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please help us to become lawful instead of lawless. Help us to take the good laws of God to heart. Please write them upon our hearts and our minds that we might obey from the heart, that we might love the things that are good, that you might transform us and make us into good children of God, that we might be blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of this perverse generation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.